Hey guys, Pilo here. Just want to give you a heads up on this episode. We had a couple times where we had some technical issues with our connection, but otherwise, great episode. Hope you enjoy the show.
Salutations, everyone, and welcome to another episode of To The Top Talk, brought to you by Mugshots Grill and Bar. To The Top Talk is the original and longest-running Southern Miss podcast in the market. We are recording this episode on April 1st. Happy April Fool's Day. From beautiful Hattiesburg, Mississippi, here is as always, with your break from the high resource five propaganda to talk a little Southern Miss athletics, I am your host, Harper Lowry. Joining me now is my dad, Patrick Lowry.
Harper in the house, loving it.
How good was that? She even threw in a daddy reference there at the end. That was awesome.
Yeah.
She nailed it.
She was fired up about it. I told her about it right after last week, right after Jack did it. And she went to school today and told everybody that she was going to be famous. I'm like, we're not that big.
Jack had, there was two people in the stands. I think one person in the roost, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah.
That came up. So Mr. Danny that sits kind of next to us in basketball. Mm-hmm. To my left, and then Mr. Ed,
yeah,
that always comes and sees us. They both came up while so Jack and I went up to the stands for a little bit and broke away from the roost and sat in T-row seats for about three or four innings maybe. And when we did, on two separate occasions while we were sitting there, they came over and they said, "I heard you on the podcast," and he was just covering his face.
She's been fired up about it all week.
Yeah. Awesome. Good stuff. Well, this episode is, of course, brought to you by Mugshots in Hattiesburg. We're very proud to be sponsored by Mugshots, the South's premier sports grill and bar. And it all started right here in Hattiesburg 20 years ago. At Mugshots, they're always having a good time. Happy hour specials daily, and with 18 specialty burgers, they've got you covered. Go see our good friends at Mugshots in Hattiesburg today. Mugshots, delivering craveable food and personalized hospitality to friends and family in a place obsessed with sports. So what happened since the last time we recorded? I had a really good week at the Pete. It was tons of fun. I'm almost glad that we're away this weekend because I don't know if I can do anymore. I need a break.
Right. Yeah.
It was super fun, but I need a breather. Southern Miss Beach Volleyball hosted the Beachburg Invitational. I don't know how we didn't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, they were playing until like 11 o'clock. It was crazy. Like they were playing.
I saw them out there, and it looked a lot of fun. I didn't realize that it was the Beachburg Invitational. I need a shirt. I need a shirt for that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Surely they had shirts made.
Hopefully.
Softball was back in action, and they're on the road in Sunbelt Conference play. Track and field had an impressive showing, and I learned from you that there's a foodie talk worthy report, courtesy of Hub City Eats.
Yeah.
So first of all, we'll start off with that. Remind everybody how to go follow your side hustle with the Hub City Eats.
Yeah, so I believe it's, I mean, definitely on Instagram. That's kind of my main platform, HubCity_Eats. And what I do is just go around the Hub City around Hattiesburg and talk a little, or not talk, but I guess I take pictures and eat at different places. And just have a lot of people usually from out of town or that I work with and that travel into Hattiesburg either to come to the zoo or come down to Lucky Rabbit and different things like that. They're like, where should I go eat? And so it kind of just started from that. And plus I just like to eat good food and take pictures of it usually, very millennial of me. And, so yeah, it just started from that, but you can go check it out. I think there's also, I usually duplicate the post over on Facebook. So if that's more your thing, their posts are on there as well. And yeah, I got a DM from an OG Hattiesburg establishment. If you've been around Hattiesburg a while, you've heard of Villy's. And breaking news, not really breaking, a lot of people, if you're in the Hattiesburg area, know, but if you're not, this Wednesday, April 3rd, they are opening back up. And they are having a soft open last week and invited me to come try out some stuff. And man, it was great. I did a post on there, so I'm not going to really go deep into it, but go check it out on Hub City Eats. Follow me on there. We're getting close to 500 followers on there and growing every week. So yeah, it was a good time. And I love the spot. It's in the old Po' Boy Express right there next to 4th Street Bar. So really close to campus, and I know they'll do great.
Yeah, it looks cool. When I've been by there, it looks neat. And the pictures that you put looked delicious. It's I see that they've got the stamp of approval from the former owners. So
yep,
that's good to know. And it got me thinking today, when I was thinking about what we're going to talk about tonight, I thought we would hit on that because Villy's is cool. I'm glad to see they're coming back. Hattiesburg is blessed with tons of local spots to eat that are really good. It's one of the better cities that I know of where you can go and eat local in so many different places. I don't know how many there are, but I want to say one, like 200.
Yeah, I think something. That's right. I think that's what visit Hattiesburg pushes.
It's a ton. So to see one of the OGs coming back, that's really cool. But it got me to thinking about all the sandwiches that Villy's has and my favorite sandwiches that I like. So I thought, if you want to, we could kick this off with our top five Sandos.
Let's do it.
And it's your segment, so I'll give you first pick.
Oh, I'm pretty positive you're not going to have any of the same ones as me.
I was thinking about it, so I jotted down a few. I'm very normal.
Right. Well, I went with like things like when I think of like a sandwich I'm going to go for, and a lot of mine are connected. And if you know, you hear this list and you know me, you will understand. I'm going to go with something I harass Toby Barker about all the time. Jersey Mike's. I got to go with the Jersey Mike's Italian as number one.
So you are going with a very specific thing. My number one is the peanut butter and jelly. I think it's the OG. I don't think it can be beat. PB&J. What are your thoughts on the PB&J?
Oh, solid. But I'm a 2-to-1 ratio on peanut butter. So I like to peanut butter both pieces of bread and only jelly one side.
And I think at some point you just, I remember when they had the crunchy peanut butter. I think I went for that pretty hard until like age 12 and then I was out. Yeah. No more crunchy peanut butter.
Yeah, like I think I started out doing it crunchy too. Yeah. Now it's like, I can't do it. That's weird. Yeah.
So PB&J for me, and I guess I go first on this round. So I'm going grilled cheese.
Oh yeah. See, I went very specific. You go generic. So this is a good thing. I went again, Jersey Mike's chicken bacon ranch, but you got to add onion. I love it. It's like a Philly, like a chicken Philly. I guess if we're going to make it generic, just a good chicken Philly sandwich.
You're up on round three.
Jersey so this Mike's. Is another, it's not, we're moving away from Jersey Mike's, but it is another old Hattiesburg establishment that went away, and almost, I think they've went away totally. If you remember where the Jew Thomas is out west, used to be Spicy Pickle. And I don't know if you ever ate there.
Yeah, I remember that.
Spicy Pickle was one of my favorite places in Hattiesburg. And they had a sandwich, a pressed panini, And actually found a screenshot online, and it was the Adobe. It was roasted turkey, fresh mozzarella, chipotle mayo, green peppers, and this corn relish on a rosemary focaccia, and it was perfection. And I don't know, they just closed up shop one day, and I think the whole like franchise is pretty much shut down except for a couple locations in Colorado. But man, that place was good.
It was good and always busy.
Always busy.
Yeah. So for my third, again, you just said a whole lot of words. I'm just going to say three letters. BLT.
Ooh.
Can't go wrong with BLT.
You know, I was so, my taste buds have really changed as I've gotten older. I was an anti-tomato person. Loved ketchup, hated tomatoes, but it was more of a texture thing. But man, like as I've gotten older, like a good, but I like it chopped. I couldn't have like a big juicy slice of tomato. That grosses me out still. But yeah, I could definitely do a BLT. That's a solid choice.
Or my fourth. Yeah. Is it me?
Oh, is it me?
Yeah, that's me.
Yep.
So for my fourth, I'm going, meatball sub.
Ooh.
Normal meatball sub. Not the, I ain't got to have all the stuff. I just need the meatballs, the, I guess, marinara.
Yeah.
And the cheese. That's all I need. I don't need mustard. I don't need pickles. I don't need olives. You might get there some black olives.
Ooh, you can yeah. Yeah. You know, I never got that. Like, that was always something my dad or my brother got growing up at, like, Subway. And I never would get the meatball. But it always looked good to me. But I never could commit. I don't know. Another OG that got changed, the Wicked sandwich from Witch Witch. I don't know if you've ever had that.
You had to like fill out the little card.
Yes, you fill out the bag, but they took all that away. Like COVID hit, they changed the menu and like scaled down and like they ruined it. So like I don't go anymore. And it was one of my normal in my routine and like they ruined it. So OG Wicked was awesome. Five meats, three cheeses, and it was the goat.
All right, your fifth pick.
Fifth pick. This is curveball, and it's also relevant. I'm going to go with the 7:30 a.m. pimento cheese sandwich I had standing in Augusta National.
Pimento. If you didn't go pimento with that one, cheese. I was going with that one with my fifth pick. I was kind of hoping you forgot.
No,
so that I could do it and it would irritate you.
Well, a lot of people like the egg salad, you know, or actually the chicken salad there is really good too. Underrated, but very good.
For my, this is my fifth?
Yeah. Fifth pick.
So for my fifth, I am going to, that was only your fourth, I think.
No, I had two Jersey Mike's, spicy pickle, the Wicked, and the pimento cheese. That's right.
So mine is just a shrimp po' boy.
Oh, see, I do regret that. The coast person in me regrets not throwing some kind of po' boy in there, but
yeah,
I'm glad you did.
Very good, very good, very good. Well, it was nice to do. I know this is a Southern Miss podcast and mostly sports related, but you know, it was you going to Villies and Villies coming back, and plus we're sponsored by one of the OGs of Hattiesburg and Mugshot.
Absolutely.
We could spend 45 minutes just talking about which burger we like the best from there.
Yeah, don't get me started.
You should go track every one of them and, you know, say what you want to, but the Magic Mushroom Burger, Stew's Magic Mushroom, that's my go-to there. And the peanut butter. We've talked about the peanut butter before. Anyway.
Yep.
The hot topics that I wanted to hit on before we get into baseball and softball, because baseball and softball is kind of all that happened this week. We did have some golf scores and stuff like that. But as far as the biggies go, the baseball and softball, but it got me to thinking about the Sun Belt.
Mm-hmm.
How good is the Sun Belt in baseball? I just love this conference. I love being in it. I love being able to drive. If you want to go this weekend, right? We're in Mobile, right down the road. There's not a whole lot of just crazy trips. I guess Conway, South Carolina would be one. And San Marcos, everything else is pretty much drivable. You know, it's they're good. So
right
now, as far as Warren Nolan goes, And you guys that follow baseball or follow any sport, you know that Warren Nolan puts out the RPI, or one of the places that puts out RPI, and this is usually the most respected, I think. But it has the Sun Belt rated as the number 4 conference in RPI. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
I saw something on Twitter about it. Yeah, that's impressive.
So it goes SEC, ACC, Big 12, Sun Belt. So you might be thinking to yourself, like, well, that's pretty much all the conferences, right? No, it's not all the conferences. There's still a ton of conferences left. There's still 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's still 10 more after us, right? So then after the Sun Belt, you go Pac-12, Big 10, Big East, Missouri Valley, American Athletic, Southern, Conference USA, Big West, Coastal Athletic, and Southland.
Goodness gracious. So,
yeah, it's a very big deal to hang our hat on that. And I dove a little bit into the specifics and tried to dial down some of the statistics as far as RPI related within the conference. Southern Miss is that it has an RPI of 49, and these things are fluid. I get that. If you check it right now, it might have changed because it has to do with who you've beaten. Was it at home? Was it on the road? If you won, who have they beaten? If you lost, who have they, you know, it's everything is smushed together in some sort of point total. So Southern Miss with an RPI of 49. Coastal has the best RPI in the Sun Belt Conference at 18 currently. Other teams of note, Louisiana Lafayette at number 50, Georgia State 53, App State 68, Georgia Southern 52, Old Dominion 62, Texas State 97, James Madison 32, and South Al 56. So if you were following along, that's 10 teams in the top 100. That's something crazy. That's very good. That's that upper quadrant. And another thing that I didn't know is that Louisiana Lafayette has currently won 11 games in a row. Red hot. This is about the time of year where hopefully Southern Miss will do something like that. We've had a run like that in us the last two seasons, but here's ULL doing it. So we still got them on the schedule. I just love this league. And I wanted to point out that it's very good at baseball. So there you go.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I was just looking at the overall standings, and we're going to get to that after we finish baseball. But yeah, you have 14 teams in the league, and I mean, 12 of those are above 500 and well above 500. You know, the majority of them. So, only two teams out of the 14 are below 500, and Monroe's pretty close. So. Really, just Marshall with the overall record is just not quite there yet. But
and Marshall's going to be on the way up with the field this year, right?
Yep.
It's just a matter of time before Marshall starts getting some talent in there to play too. When you ain't got to drive an hour and a half to play at a double A stadium, it's got to be or stay in Huntington and play at the YMCA. It's got to be a little bit easier to recruit now.
Sure.
But the Golden Eagles on the baseball diamond, hanging in there this year. We're trying to figure out if we're elite or not. I think we know that we're pretty good. I'm not the verdict is still out on whether this is an elite team or not. We're sitting at 18-10, 6-3 in the Sun Belt Conference. We're wondering how they're going to bounce back after a bad week last week when we lost to Ole Miss and lost 2 out of 3 on the road at Georgia Southern. It was kind of embarrassing. This week we had a midweek versus Tulane. And then a 3-game set at the Pete with Troy. So, Pilo, why don't you start us off with that Tulane game and take us through what happened there?
Yeah. So, man, what a good game. Eagles end up winning 9-4. Great crowd on hand for a midweek. goodness gracious, that early comes out. Tuesday night game. Pitching, we used six guys. English started, gave us 2 good ones, no runs. Chandler Bess comes in, looks dominant, throws 2 innings as well, 4 Ks. JW Armistead comes in and gets credited for the win. Middleton throws two innings earlier than normal in the sixth and the seventh. Sively and Allen closed it out. As far as hitting for the Eagles, banged out 14 hits. I know everybody was happy to see that. Saw the beginning of a really good week for several guys. Dalton McIntyre goes 2 for 4. You're going to hear his name a lot. Slade Wilkes goes 2 for 3 with a double, 2 RBIs, 2 walks, and 2 runs. It was officially dubbed, if you followed us on Twitter, Tuna Tuesday, and that's because Carson Pato goes 3 for 4 with 3 RBIs, a homer, a double, and nearly a cycle. He was just a triple away. Gabe Broaddus goes 2 for 4. Nicky Ballgame hits a double. Thoughts?
Those are all names that we need to be awesome if we're going to be awesome, right?
For sure.
And we didn't even mention, we didn't even mention Butler, but he's a piece to the puzzle. It's nice to know. So earlier, let's say when Slade and Pato are doing okay, but maybe when they were slumping just a bit, it was Billy Butler picking them up, right?
Right.
And I mean, Nicky Ballgame's been down a little bit, but you got Ozzie Pratt and you got Dalton McIntyre kind of picking him up. So it's starting to if it ever comes together, which it kind of did this game and the next game in particular, but it's nice to know that when your big guys are not producing like you're expecting them to, that you still have the ability to win some ball games. That being said, it also shows that we haven't reached our potential yet, right?
Right. Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, but that was a good, it's great to beat Tulane in anything. It's always great to see Pato, especially sitting out there in the roost. It's just great to see Pato do good. And, you know, the fifth inning that we had, Monastir doubled scoring 2. Odom hit a single up the middle, I believe. It scored 2. Getting those hits with runners on base. How many times have we been reporting on this stuff this year? We're like, well, we left 15 on base. Well, we left 12 on base, right? So here we are. We're not doing that anymore. So it's good. It's good to see the big guys stepping up. And when if you're not necessarily a big guy like Odom, right, trying to make his mark, he gets up with a couple guys on him, he delivers. So it's good.
For sure.
That leads us to the Troy series, this first game. I'll take this one. It was one of the most fun nights at the Pete that I can remember. It was over too soon because it only went 7 innings.
For sure.
Tons of offense. And I made the comment, I think when we had like 16 hits, I was like, can we get 20? When's the last time we've had 20? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer to the last time we had 20. I really don't know the last time we had 20 hits in 7 innings. It wasn't even a full 7 innings, right? But anyway, good night. Mazza, of course, with the Friday night start. He had an off week last week, just like the rest of the team, but he looked pretty good this week. I mean, Troy's a good team. So he goes 5 1/3, 5 hits, 3 runs, only 1 earned, 4 strikeouts, 3 walks, threw exactly 100 pitches. That's inching your way back. That's not dominant Mazza, right? But it's plenty good enough and probably would have been a little bit better than what that was and maybe gone just a hair deeper without the errors. But so he gave us a chance. And then that being said, we had already kind of roughed up the starter for Troy, who is a former Oak Grove Warrior. We'll get to his stats in just a minute. But we were wondering whether or not we were going to – how many pitchers we were going to have to use. Because we knew we got to their starter early. Well, Sively came in. He throws an inning in 2/3. Only 1 hit, 1 run. It was unearned. 4 strikeouts, 0 walks. And we mentioned the starter from Oak Grove, Luke Lyon. He came into this game with a sub-1 ERA and is really a legit Friday night guy. He goes just 2 1/3, 11 hits, 9 runs, 8 earned, 1 strikeout. And I want to make a point that I'm not trying to bang on this dude. Very good player, just not his night. But it's very nice to know that our hitters have the ability to hit really good arms, and that's what he is. So
sure.
So that was good. Did not hit any home runs in this game, but did hit six doubles. Dalton McIntyre, you just said his name. He got, what, three hits last game? He goes 5 for 5 this game, 4 runs and an RBI. Pratt, 2 for 5. Wilkes, 2 for 5 with 3 RBIs. Pato, 2 for 5. Gillespie, 2 for 4. Monastery, 2 for 4, 3 RBIs. Brodus, 2 for 4. Russo came in late, and he got a single. Butler knocked in a run. It was just a fight at the bat rack all night long, and it was awesome. It was really cool. And it was over way too soon.
Yeah, I agree. And I think as we were racking up, I'm like, is it just 10 after 7 on Sunday, or is that like a conference thing? And, you know, Russo gets that hit, and then it kind of rounds first, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then the whole team comes up, Doug. I was like, well, that answers the question. So,
yeah, I didn't know about it either. Apparently, it's a new rule that went into effect at the beginning of this year that I didn't know about. What about game two? How'd we do?
Yeah, so game – appreciate that. Game two was heartbreaker, man. Lost this one 9-8. Had this one in hand and then gave up the lead late. Pato slipped, and I'm not going to credit that's the only issue, but it is what happened late in the game. So he had one of the most incredible catches of the season, and then has another ball hit to him and goes to take off and slips, and then a triple scores two.
That was partly my fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll explain. I believe in jinxes in baseball. I believe in the Grigory. So, you know, a Coop always plays the song, right?
Oh, yeah.
Drinking It Wrong comes on right when the horns stop after a win. I've always wanted to capture that. I've always wanted to capture a video from our spot with the horns and then immediately going straight into Drinking It Wrong.
Yeah.
And then just kind of film. And I got to do that later, but I wanted to do it. And it's a very small amount of time when those horns go off. They go off like 4 or 5 seconds. So you really have to be ready to go. And I've asked him before to do it. And maybe the speaker wasn't set up, or he was fumbling through his phone and not getting to the song quick enough. So immediately before that ball was hit to Pato, I was like, dude, get to speak. And he was like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't get it ready. It's going to jinx it. I was like, all right, well, don't get it fully ready, but just at least turn it on and have the song like on your phone, like ready to hit the button. Just at least do that. He said, okay. So he set up the speaker, got his phone out, routine single out to Pato. He slips down and they score two. My bad.
Well, anyway, you heard it here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks for that. So rewinding a little bit, before that, Gillespie homers to tie it up at 6 in the bottom of the 8th. Then the Eagles take the lead with an Ozzie Pratt single with the bases juiced. Man, exciting game again. Like, win the first one handily, this one's a little tighter. We're behind, we come back, and then, you know, lots of excitement, lots of exciting plays. Three errors, which, you know, definitely hurt us, definitely led to some additional runs for Troy. But also, great crowd. I mean, I thought it was
huge.
It was
crowd. Yeah.
The awesome. First, not really first, but it really seemed like the roost was pretty packed. So, pitching wise, Oldham goes 5 2/3, gives up 6 hits, four runs, 3 earned, 5 Ks, 3 walks. Chase Adams comes in, gives for an inning and a third, doesn't give up anything. Colby Allen throws 2 innings, gives up 5 hits, 5 runs, 4 earned, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. He goes to 3-1 on the season. Hitting, we had 10 hits total. Gillespie goes 2 for 5 with a home run. Monastery goes 2 for 4 with 2 runs and a home run. Wilkes and Butler whiffed 3 times each. Just that's tough right in the middle of the lineup, right when things You know, McIntyre's probably going to get on base, or at least somebody before them is going to be on. So, like, we got to have those guys either getting on base or you know, moving, being productive. But 6Ks in the middle of the lineup is tough. So
I guess the bright side there is that all of that stuff happened that you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of took a miracle for Troy to pull it out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good team we were playing. Then game three, won this one 5-3, won another Sun Belt Conference series. That's good. And really, if we wanted to be taken seriously and have a shot at the league this year, that was kind of a must win, I thought. And, yeah. And I think they felt the same way. Listening to Coach Ostrander before the game, I think he at least felt somewhere along the same lines. Will Armstead got the start again, looked great. 5 1/3, 10 Ks. 2 hits, 2 walks, 2 earned. Chandler Best came in. He gave up that homer, but settled down pretty quick. Got 3 Ks. Middleton didn't have it. Pitched to 3 guys. He's going to have to show up. But, again, that's the mark of a good team where your closer can't have it, so you bring in the kid, right? English did have it. 2 innings pitch, 1 hit, nothing. That's also when that Russo play happened. When there's a throw from McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
And Russo was in this spot where he's supposed to be in front of the mound, cut it off. So it ends up being an 8-3-4 double play. That was really neat. It was a cool moment. Hitting wise, scored 3 in the first, thanks to that, you know, Wilkes double. When he's staying back on the ball and driving it, that's just going to be a good day usually. And that very first swing was opposite field gap. And just, you know, laser. And then the Peyto homer went dry for a while. We've seen that happen where we score a bunch in the first and don't score the rest of the game. I was kind of wondering if that was going to happen again, but the good thing it didn't. Just 7 hits on the day. Wilkes goes 2-for-3. Nicky Ballgame 2-for-2. D-Mac 2-for-4. He had that big RBI hit in the 7th that gave Sutter Miss the lead. A really hustled base running play by Broaddus caused that throwing error down there at third, you know, so we actually scored 2 on that play.
Mm-hmm.
That was good to see. It was just, we had to have it. Really, the players knew that we had to have it, and they gave it their all, and we did have it. So after winning 2 out of 3, what are your thoughts on the series?
Yeah, I mean, I think Troy's a good team. I mean, I feel like we're ahead of them. We should I mean, you want to sweep. It doesn't matter if you lose the first one and win the next two, or lose one in the middle and win the first and the third, or either you win the first two and lose the last one. It still sucks. Like, it, not that it sucks that they suck, but it just stinks to not sweep, I guess.
Yeah, and it was right.
But
there.
Again, yeah, and to have, even with all that happened, still to have the guy on third base with a chance to tie it up and go, you know, more. To extra innings after all that puts a bad taste in your mouth. But, you know, it is what it is. It's baseball. I don't know, just keep chugging along, keep winning series, and hopefully we can put 3 in a row together.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's see if we can put back-to-back weeks, good weeks together.
Yep.
Up next, on the road, but do not have to travel far, we are at Southeastern in Hammond on Tuesday, April 2nd at 6 p.m. Then a 3-game set with South Owl and Mobile Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's 6:30 Friday, 2 p.m. Saturday, and 1 p.m. on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
South Owl is currently 16-12, 3-6 in the league. But they beat Troy 2 out of 3 this year, too. So they're going to be formidable. They also play a midweek there at UNO on Tuesday. And getting you caught up on the Sun Belt Conference standings, Louisiana is winning a whole lot of baseball games. They are 8-1, 20-8 overall. Georgia State in second at 7-2. Coastal Carolina and Southern Miss at 6-3. App State, Georgia Southern at 5-4. Everybody else is below 500. And we will see. Well, also, what did I say South Alabama was? 3-6. So South Alabama is 3-6. I guess they're probably thinking to themselves, if we have a really good weekend, we can kind of get right back in the thick of this thing. So
yeah, for sure.
This would be a nice spot to just go ahead and foot straight on the neck, right?
Absolutely.
Choke them out. What about softball? What we got softball-wise going on?
So softball, the girls traveled to Troy for the weekend. And so lost 2 out of 3 to Troy, but Troy's a good team. So it was good to get one of those. Troy was
Troy's awesome.
25-11, 5-2 in the Sun Belt. Game one, lost in 8 innings, 2-1. Great effort. Step started. She goes 3 1/3, gives up 2 hits, 4 Ks, 2 walks, and 1 run. Followed up shortly after by Jana Lee with 3 2/3. Gives up 4 hits and a run. Hitting in game one, only had 4 hits, 8 strikeouts on the day, but did draw 5 walks. And Taylor, Lindsay, Weeks, and Allen got all the hits, all singles. So moving on to game two, lost this one 10-4, got 8 hits. Troy only had 10 hits, made 3 errors, scored 2 in the third to get within 1 run, scored 2 in the fourth to pull within 2 runs. Troy got 1 in the fourth and 3 in the sixth to put it away. Pitching, Brooklyn White goes 3 2/3, 7 hits, 6 earned. Marissa Frederick comes in and goes 1 1/3, gives up 3 hits and 4 earned. Jana comes in and threw a clean inning after that. Hitting-wise, Hannah Borden goes 2 for 4. 6 other Lady Eagles get 1 hit apiece. Shelby Allen goes 1 for 3 with 1 run and 1 RBI. And so down two, back against the wall, game three, win this one 10-1, tied a season high with 13 hits, had 4 players with multiple hits. Hannah Borden got loose again, hits 2 bombs. So it's adding to that number as we speak. Jana Lee goes the distance, limited the Lady Trojans to only 3 hits. Jana throws 5 innings, gives up 3 hits, 1 earned, 2 Ks. 1 walk on 56 pitches. Again, hitting. Borden goes 3 for 3, scores 3 runs, 2 RBIs, 2 home runs, and a walk. Nat Taylor, 2 for 4, 2 runs, 3 RBIs, and a home run. Maria Smith goes 2 for 3, scores 2 runs and an RBI. And Rihanna Valdiva, yes, goes 2 for 2, one run and 1 RBI. Up next, at home on Wednesday, April 3rd at 6 p.m. versus Nichols, and the weekend traveling to Conway, South Carolina to play Coastal. Friday the 5th at 5, Saturday at 1, and Sunday at 11 a.m.
I need to get out the softball just to watch Hannah Borden hit bombs.
Yeah, yeah, she can do it. So on the Sun Belt standings again, Louisiana is at the top. They are 9-0 in the conference, 24-13 overall. They've won 6 in a row. Behind them is Texas State sitting at 7-2. Troy is that 6-3. James Madison 5-4, along with ULM. And then you have Georgia Southern, South Owl, and Southern Miss all at 4-5. And then everybody else behind that. So yeah, that gets us caught up on Sun Belt softball standings.
How are we looking weather-wise? So the men are going to be in Mobile, which is basically our weather, I guess. And then the ladies are going to be in Conway, South Carolina. What if for people that might be making that trip or
listening
to it right now, like what's the weather looking like?
Man, this weekend in Mobile is going to be perfect. You're talking pretty much a carbon copy, a little cool Saturday evening, or actually that's probably Saturday morning. So you're looking high 73, high 73, high 75. And then progressively Saturday, Sunday, we're kind of moving up a little bit in the low. So you're talking low 45, low 44, low 55. So just an absolute perfect weekend. Should be great. That's for the guys in Mobile. And then up in Conway, you're looking at a little cooler, high 62 pretty much every day around there, and lows down in the 40, or actually Saturday's low is 33. So a little cooler up north. I think have some weather moving through middle of the week, so it'll be a back end of that. But yeah, if you're traveling up there, it looks like it's going to be relatively pretty sunny, no rain or anything.
Cool. I'd like to remind everybody that Mugshots has game day pitchers available. Go by and get those. They also have shareable starters to order for the table. Happy hour deals from 3 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday as half off domestic well drinks and domestic draft and $3 snacks. That sounds like my kind of deal. Yeah. And I've also been voted the best burger in Mississippi 16 years in a row. So they've been the best burger 16 years in a row. And we've been doing a podcast for 8 years. We've never won anything.
Hey, we're nominated.
We're nominated. We're the Susan Lucci of
South
Mississippi podcast.
Was it Leo that like was?
I think Leo is. Like,
yeah, he has one. He has one.
Does he want it now? Okay,
yeah, he has one now, but it took him forever. Yeah,
awesome. Let's see. In other news, what do we got? What do we got here? Beach volleyball. The Beachburg Invitational. That was this weekend. Southern Miss, Loyola, New Orleans, Spring Hill, and Nichols. The ladies go undefeated on the weekend, beat Nichols 4-1. Beat Spring Hill 3-2. Beat Loyola 5-0. Loyola. So very good for them. I did see them as I was driving by, going to baseball, and then driving back. They played a lot because they're out there before our game started and after our game finished. I know there's lots of teams, but that's a lot of beach volleyball. Have you ever walked through the sand and then tried to jump around and then try to do that for several hours?
Yeah. And if you are out of baseball, I don't know how our home schedule shakes out, but it's a good time. It's definitely a vibe. It's very chill. You can take like a folding chair. They do have concessions and stuff out there as well. So it's a good time if you want to go check it out.
They serve beer?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now we're talking. Excellent. Golf finished up at the Houston All-American. Do you want to take us through how that went down since you're a golf guy?
Used to be golf guy, I guess. I don't feel much like golf guy anymore.
I can barely talk. I've been sucking on a lozenge this entire time. I got this nasal thing. It's just, I'm going to wake up one of these days and be able to breathe, and it's going to be awesome. But if you can get us through this.
So, yeah, we finished 13th at the Houston All-American Seniors, led by seniors Thong Pimpat and Robbie Ladder. Each fired a final round 73 to help Southern Miss to a 13th place tie at the Houston All-American. Played at the Golf Club of Houston in Humble, Texas.
Which is kind of weird, right? Golf Club of Houston, and it's not in Houston. Is that weird to anybody else? Just me?
Yeah, that's strange. Thong Pimpat finished as the highest Golden Eagle individual finisher by tying for 23 with a 5 over 221. Had a good final round, lowest number of the tournament at 295. Golden Eagle shot a total of 891. Texas Tech wins the event with a score of 871. So next up for the men's golf will be the Mossy Oak Collegiate. I think that's up in West Point at the Mossy Oak Golf Club, April 15th through 16th. So still about 2 weeks away. And then after that, the Sunbelt Championship will be held up at Annandale in Madison on April 22nd through the 24th. Moving ahead to women's golf, last played in the Mountain View Collegiate at the Preserve Golf Club, not the one that I was thinking, in Saddlebrook, Arizona. I was like, man, great course. And then I read the rest of the sentence. I was really going to give some insight on that, but never played the one in Saddlebrook, Arizona. Placed 12th out of 15 team. Merchie and Alma both fired two under 70 during Sunday's final round at the Mountain View Collegiate. The Golden Eagles finished tied for 12th with Minnesota. Momo extended her streak of top 20 finishes this season to 7 consecutive tournaments after finishing tied for 17th this weekend. The Tokyo Japan native ended her tournament with a 1-under 71 that featured 5 birdies. Southern Miss's 43 birdies on the weekend was tied for 4th most in the 15 team field, and Momo had 13 birdies. Wow. Next up, yeah, it's a lot. Next up, so you want to play college golf? It's not just about eliminating doubles and bogeys. It's you got to make a lot of birdies too. At ULM, next up is the ULM Invitational, April 1st. That is today and the 2nd at Bayou Louis. Desard Country Club in Monroe. I'm not sure. Sorry, Louisiana people. Following that next week at the Mercer Invitational at the Brickyard Golf Club in Macon, Georgia. I've been to Macon. And following that up is the next week, April 15th through 18th, the Sunbelt Championship at Lakewood Golf Course down at Point Clear. Robert Trent Jones. Another great course there.
Very good. Get out and watch some of that. I never watched any golf in college. We should probably do that and heckle people.
Yeah.
Like with an air horn from the middle of the woods, like Jackass did back in the day. You remember those episodes? You got to go back and watch it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it was like the very beginning of Jackass, I think, with, what was his name? Johnny Knoxville. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? No? Anyway. All right. So, are we back? Are you there?
Yeah, we're going to apologize for some technical difficulties. I am not sure what all y'all heard. We will have to try to get that in post. I'm not sure. We do seem to have a little bit of a connection issue this evening, so I apologize for that. If it goes in and out.
Yeah, let's go ahead and shut it. You got any shout-outs?
Oh, man. Yeah, I did. I know. Let's see. I did want to give a shout-out to John Smith. He officially launched Golden Garb, which is a clothing, vintage kind of Southern Miss clothing clothing line that was, you know, that's really featured. He's kicking everything off kind of with the rally bike. And so if you know John as the rally bike, he has hats, visors, and now has some polo shirts in a couple different varieties available. So if you're wanting some of those, I know they're going to be available a couple other places, but I would just reach out to him on any kind of social or on Twitter with Golden Garb. Also wanted to give a shout out to Chris, as they call him, Uncle Chris Russo. You know, Jeff, Matthew Russo's dad, Jeff, got to really spend some cool time with him over the weekend out in the roost and talking. Just baseball. Dude loves it, loves this team, loves Hattiesburg. And obviously with his son on the team, but he was wanting me to encourage Unk, as they call him, to come back out to the roost. He was the one who famously did the pastelaya last year that was a huge hit. Right. And also did some fish that they had caught like pretty recently, some speckled trout and some fried fish out there. So I have been told to encourage him to come back out to the roost and give the people what they want, especially me, some of that pastelaya. So.
Very good. I want to give a couple shout outs myself. Tate Ryder came walking through the roost. Ryder time.
Yeah.
It was good to see Tate. It's the first time he's been out there this year, I think. So anyway, good to see Tate. And then a really cool shout out to Janet and Jason Adkinson and their two young children. So these people, the 16-ounce lounge guy got with us and said he was going to bring them out. What these people do, they live in Jacksonville, Florida, and going to baseball games is just their thing. This week was the state of Mississippi, So, and the last stop was at the Pete the night before they were in Oxford. And they're talking about possibly going and looping through Tuscaloosa. But they didn't. They decided to come to the Pete instead, and they loved it. It was just cool to see them. Very, very nice folks. They're, I think South Carolina is coming up next. They're going there, and they're going to like five schools in South Carolina on a weekend or something. So, or during the week. So it's really cool. And you guys are invited back anytime. So safe travels and to the top, guys. And another shout out I wanted to give was to the gypsysoulchicks.com. So they gave us a Tumblr. It's got the logo on the side of it, and it's this like fancy artistry kind of behind the logo. It's really neat. And Dr. Thornton handed it to me. And so Jamie does all this stuff, and she does great with it. They had a booth set up at Hubfest.
Oh, cool.
And it's really neat. They do flasks and candles and all kind of stuff like that. So just go to gypsysoulchicks.com. You'll be able to look and see what you want. I think they can do anything. Like, you tell them what you want on there. I was scrolling through some of the pictures, and it was like normal photographs that she's just kind of made fancier, right?
Yeah.
And it's neat. So go check that out. And the last shout out is to Live at Five. Kicks off this weekend. T-Bone Pruitt in the house. He's let off the series a few different times. This is a free concert that goes on in Town Square Park in downtown Hattiesburg every April and October. And sometimes it bleeds over a little bit, depending on if it rains or something. But definitely every Friday in April and October, it's scheduled to go down. And it's really neat. I love it. I really love it on an off weekend because I can go.
right. Yeah, for sure.
So looking forward to that this Friday. No doubt. That's it. That's all I got. This episode was brought to you by Mugshots Grill and Bar, where they're always having a good time. Happy hour specials daily. And for a limited time, they're bringing back some of their oldies but goodies. So go check them out soon. Go see our good friends at Mugshots in Hattiesburg today. Mugshots, delivering craveable food and personalized hospitality to friends and family in a place obsessed with sports. Go to Mugshots. Order some beer. Order some apps. Sit there. Play some Golden Tee. You'll probably see Pilo sitting at the bar. Go thump him in the ear.
Do it.
Thanks for listening in today, whatever day you might have listened, and whichever platform you chose to listen in on. Remember, you can follow me at Bumper J Bailey and Patrick at P Lowry. Follow us on all the social at To The Top Talk, and don't forget about the mailbag, tothetoptalk@gmail.com. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Tell somebody to the top today. And as always, Southern Miss,
to the top.
Talk.
I could play for Alabama, USC, or Notre Dame. You have lots of things to offer, but Southern Mississippi puts you all to shame. I was born here in Hattiesburg, never ventured far away. When it comes to playing football, here in Eagle Heaven is where I'm gonna stay. I could play for North Carolina, Ohio State, or LSU. You play a good game of football, but Southern Mississippi is a whole lot better than you. When the football season is over and done, the fans here in Hattiesburg will be proud of what we've done. I could play for the Georgia Bulldogs, Florida State, or Tennessee, but I chose Southern Mississippi, and right here at home is where I'll always be. I could play for Alabama, USC, see our Notre Dame. You have lots of things to offer, but Southern Mississippi put you all to shame. I could play for North Carolina, Ohio State, or LSU. You play a good game of football, but Southern Mississippi is a whole lot better than you. When the football season is over and done, all your teams with famous names will see we're number one. Ask Mississippi State. Ask Mississippi State.
Call Katie Case Bailey with Dunbar Real Estate for all of your real estate needs. Katie Case Bailey, Realtor Extraordinaire. Something to show, something to list, something to sell. Call today at 601-408-9980.